This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, my redemption. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just for the mothers and fathers in the toddlers' rooms. There are actually three toddler's rooms, if you don't know. There are three ones and one mother's room. The noisy room there at the back, where you can't hear me now, so that's all right if you're there. Then we've got two more quieter, smaller toddler rooms, there and there. And then the mother's room are way through at the back, so it's like the Holy of Holies. You must first enter into the one before you get to the other. So the noisy ones are at the back. If you want a little bit quiet and peace, in other words, you want to hear my sermon, then it would be the middle two. And then if you have a breastfeeding baby, not for the fathers, only for the mothers, in the Holy of Holies, if you just continue straight through to the end. This morning, I want to share around something that I touched on last time, and that's our inheritance. It's very powerful. Here in Acts chapter 26, we read of Paul's conversion and how God spoke to him when he was on that road to Damascus. And God spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then Saul also asked the very obvious question, "Who are you, Lord?" And then Jesus answered and said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." And then we read here from verse 16, God's call to Saul to become an apostle, to become a minister of the gospel, the good news of salvation by grace through faith. And so we read here from verse 16, as God speaks to Saul, he says, "Rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you to the Jewish people. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order for them to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." What a powerful account of God's calls of Saul, as we know Paul, to become a minister of the gospel, the good news of God's salvation through Christ. But in this call, also God summarizes very powerfully the mechanics and the purpose of salvation as he speaks to Paul. We see here that first of all, it is to open the eyes of the Jews and the Gentiles. In other words, through revelation by grace, to be able to see what God has done for us, to turn us from darkness to light, which speaks of repentance, and then, of course, the sanctification through the power of God by faith. So we see the working of salvation very powerfully summarized by God as he called Paul to the ministry. But then also to receive the purpose, to receive two things: to receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. Very powerful. The purpose of salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins, but also to receive an inheritance. And so in the West, we focus so much on the forgiveness of sin that is very powerfully part of salvation, but there's also an inheritance that's equally powerful and significant. Here in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 5, 2 weeks ago, we spent some time around this. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times.
In this you greatly rejoice. Speaking of this great inheritance that we have been given through faith in Christ. So what exactly is this inheritance? What is this inheritance that gives us great joy and great confidence in the time and life to come? What exactly is this inheritance that the Word of God speaks of? It's a powerful inheritance because it not only produces hope in us, it also produces great joy. As a matter of fact, verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice." So what exactly is this inheritance that God gives us? It's interesting that this inheritance not only produces great joy, but also hope. It says a living hope. And so what is this hope and this joy that we have in this inheritance? You know, hope is something very powerful. Hope is something that we see its power in its absence and its presence. When people lose hope, they give up. When they have hope, they endure. They continue. And so this week, as we are running up to the elections and there are just so much happening around us, I was listening to the radio and I was also attending a few lectures on the election and what to expect. It's very interesting listening to all these interviews. There are many people who do not vote because they have lost hope. As a matter of fact, there are more people not voting than there are people voting for the ANC. There are more people not voting than there are people voting for the ANC. And if you listen to the interviews, the reason they are not voting is because they have lost hope. They have given up. That's the power of hope. And we see it in its absence as well as in its presence. When people lose hope, they give up. When people lose hope, they leave the country. When people lose hope, they turn to crime, they turn to darkness. When people lose hope, they fall into despair. And in its extreme, they give up on life. Most people who commit suicide is because they have lost hope. And so we see the power of hope not just in its presence, but also in its absence. When people lose hope, they give up. But when people have hope, they endure and they continue. Even in adversity, they remain positive and they continue the course because they have hope. No matter what the circumstances is, no matter how great or how impossible it may seem, if man have hope, he continues to endure the circumstances and the challenges that he face. And so hope is something very powerful. But to have hope, you need to have faith. Because hope in something is not something that is a reality yet. It is hoping for something that is still to come. So you need to have faith to have hope. But this is where hope can be deceptive. Because you can hope in things that never happen. So why does hope disappoint? Because we put our faith in things other than God. That's why hope disappoints. Because we put our faith in things other than God. If your hope is in a political party to change this nation, your hope may disappoint you. If you put your hope in anything except God, you run the risk that your hope will disappoint you. It does not mean God cannot use a political party to change our nation. Yes, He can. But don't put your hope in it. Put your hope in God. Put your faith in God. not in the politicians, nor the parties that they represent. But God can use political parties to change our nation. But in what and in whom do we place our trust? If in a political party, your hope may well disappoint you, and you will become negative. If your faith is in anything in this world, your hope will disappoint. But if your faith is in God, your hope will not disappoint. If your faith and trust is in God, your hope will not disappoint. This inheritance that God promises us, that gives us great joy and hope, this inheritance that He promises is not in this world. It's very powerful to understand this, and I think for us as Christians, it is crucial that we understand this, that the inheritance that God promises us is not in this world. It is kept in heaven for us, and it's not in this world. It says here, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. You see, our inheritance is in heaven, not on earth. And this is so important for us to understand. If your hope is in an earthly inheritance, you will be disappointed. That does not mean that God cannot use earthly wealth to bless you. But if your faith and hope is in riches, you will be disappointed. God's inheritance is reserved for us in heaven, not on the earth. Now, if your faith and hope is in inheritance that is in heaven, and if your joy is because of that inheritance kept for us by the power of God through faith in God, nothing in this world will take away your joy and your hope. Because your inheritance is not found here. Because you are not putting your hope and faith for something that you can gain in this world, but something that you will gain for eternity, there is nothing that can steal that hope and joy that's within you. But if your hope is for something in this world, well, that may disappoint you. Because that is only temporal. Oh yes, God can bless you with lots of riches, but don't put your trust and hope in it. If your trust and hope is in your inheritance in eternity, then it doesn't really matter whether you have a lot or less here. Because your joy and your hope is not connected to what you have here. As a matter of fact, maybe if our hope and trust and joy is in the riches and inheritance for eternity, God can trust us with more in this life. But what is your hope in? What is your trust in? God's inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. And because our faith and hope is in inheritance in heaven, nothing in this world can take away our hope and joy. Because my hope is in an inheritance reserved for me in heaven by the power of God, there is nothing in this world that can take away my joy. Because my joy is not found here. It is found in what is kept for me for eternity. And because my joy is there, because my hope is there, because my expectation and faith is there, I remain positive no matter what happens in this world. If your hope is in eternity and the inheritance kept for you, nothing in this world will steal your joy, because your joy is there in great expectation. Which means it makes you positive. It keeps you positive, no matter what the circumstances in this world may be. Listen to this. If your hope is in eternity, nothing in this world will take away your joy. so we remain positive in this world no matter what happens, because our faith is in God and our hope is in His inheritance for us. Let us read 1 Peter 1 from verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We not only greatly rejoice in the revelation of our eternal inheritance, we continue to rejoice with joy inexpressible, no matter the trials and the tribulations and the circumstances that we face in this world, because our hope and our joy is not found in this world. It is found in eternity. How is it possible to rejoice and be filled with joy inexpressible and be negative? How is it possible? How is it possible to have joy inexpressible and yet be negative? Is that possible? It's very possible to be negative. It's very possible to be negative in this world as we look at the circumstances and the politics and the economics. It's very possible to be negative. It's very easy to be negative. But how is it possible for us who have our hope and our joy in that what awaits for us in eternity, kept by the power of God, how is it possible, if that is where our hope and joy is, to be negative in this world? Is it possible that our hope is not really there, but it's tied to what we have and experience right here? So the Word of God challenges us. It reminds us that our inheritance is not in this world. Oh, you see, if your inheritance is there, you will always be positive, because nothing can take it away. It's undefiled, uncorruptible, kept by the power of God. Nobody can steal it, claim it, expropriate it. It's kept for me by the power of God, and nobody can touch it. And so we remain positive when we have security. So where do we find our security and our hope in? Is it possible that from time to time we are not keeping our eye on the prize, but in all the other distractions in this world? But the Word of God encourages us to keep our eyes on the real prize, which is in eternity. So as we are called to no longer be part of this world, but called from this world, not to live for this world in the way the world lives, but to live for God and His ways, with this great promise that we will have a reward, let us ask God to help us to recalibrate our hearts, our faith, and our hope, to put our trust in God and His inheritance and not what we gain in this world. I want to ask the ushers to hand out communion for us as we consider the following questions. What do we hope for in this life? What are the things that we hope for? What is your greatest hope in life? It will help you to discern where we're at and maybe grant us the moment of understanding that we need God's grace to make a transition from the things that we hope for in this life to the things that God promises us for eternity. Maybe it will help us to understand why it is possible for us as Christians to be negative when we face the circumstances around us. Maybe it will help us to understand why Christians in China, Saudi Arabia, the Philippines remains positive and joyful when they come together amidst great persecution. They remain positive and they still come together even at the threat of their lives. They still come together with great joy, inexpressible, because they understand something that we struggle to in the West, that our inheritance is not in this world. It is in the world in the life to come. And so they have great joy and great boldness and courage in this world to share the gospel without fear, even though they know their lives are at risk every day, because they have discovered something that I believe we so desperately do. We need to discover that our inheritance is not in this life. What do we hope for in this life? What and in whom do we trust in South Africa? What do we have faith for? And more specifically, what do we live for? Jesus said something very challenging in Matthew 6, verse 21. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. It's very interesting what Jesus says, and so powerful. It's not where your heart is, there your treasure will be. No. It's where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And sometimes I find myself that my heart is in things in this world, and therefore I become distracted because my heart is not in eternity. And I've realized the reason why my heart moves from one side to the other, it is dependent on where your treasure is. And I've seen it in so many Christians that their heart is in heaven, but their treasure is on earth, and they cannot understand why one foot is here and the other foot is there. Oh, and they try so hard every Sunday when they come and they hear about the kingdom. Their heart is there, but because their treasure is still here, they find themselves in two worlds. And this transition to move from the one to the other becomes so difficult. And yet, the Word of God makes it so powerfully clear. It's where your treasure is what will determine where your heart is. Is it possible for us to ask God to help us to make this transition, to not look for treasures here? Oh, and it doesn't mean God cannot bless you with treasures here. But let us not get distracted by the few things that we can gain here. Let us always keep our treasure in heaven. Because if you do, your heart will follow. And living a life for God is not a problem. It's not a challenge. It's not difficult. Following and keeping His commandments are not burdensome if your treasure is where He is. Because your heart will follow. And where your heart is, your actions follow. So exactly what is this inheritance? Well, you'll have to come back next week to find out. But I will end with this scripture. It is a prayer of the Apostle Paul, the same Paul that was called to minister this great gospel, this good news of forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with God. He prayed this prayer for the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians, we read chapter 1, verse 17, and this is my prayer for us as a church. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that our eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank You that You have given us not just forgiveness, You have given us an inheritance. Oh God, with that inheritance comes great joy and hope for life with You everlasting. Oh God, that we can share in the riches of the glory of this inheritance. God, I pray that in this week and the weeks to come, God, that You may grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that You may open the eyes of our understanding, that we may be enlightened to know not just the hope of this calling, but the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in us and the greatness of Your power working in us towards this great inheritance. Oh God, I pray that our inheritance, Lord, I pray that You will grant us to make this transition, that we will not find our treasure, seek it, long for it, hope for it in this life only, God, but that You will grant us to move from this world to eternity, to have our treasure in heaven, so that our hearts may follow, so that we may be completely devoted to You, because You are the one that gives us this great inheritance. So God, I pray this for us, Lord, as we come into Your presence and we consider the price that You have paid, the cost to make it possible for us to inherit what You have purposed for us. It was sending Your Son to pay that price to enable us to become co-heirs with Christ. Oh Lord, to have a great inheritance. It was for this inheritance that He despised the shame. He embraced the cross because He had hope for this inheritance. He was willing to face the cross and death on a cross because Christ knew what was waiting for Him. God, I pray that You will grant us the same revelation of this inheritance, that we may bear our cross in this life with great joy, knowing what is waiting for us. But God, let us not forget the cost. Your Son's body that was broken for us, who became sin so that we may receive forgiveness. Let us eat together. God, we thank You for this cup and the blood that was shed for us. Thank You that this is the way, not just to eternal life, but to a great inheritance. God, thank You that whosoever has faith in this cup, in this sacrifice that was made for us, who have faith in Your word concerning Your Son, that became the perfect lamb that was sacrificed to take away the sin of the world. And so whoever believes in Him may not just have everlasting life, but may be adopted into your family as children. Lord, we thank you for this. And we declare that we have faith in you. Let us drink together in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you will grant us, that you will grant us a revelation, understanding of this great reward we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us just stand as we conclude with this last song. Let us just focus on Him. And I want you to make use of this opportunity this time, just in your own heart, just to reflect on the Word of God. As we worship Him, just respond to Jesus. Just respond to His Word. Forget my words. Forget my words, but may you remember the Word of God and its encouragement. Let us respond to God as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you concerning your hope, your faith, your trust, your treasure. Ask God to help you to make that transition. Let's do that right now as we come into His presence.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.